Parshas Vayetze. Last week I had the schus, not that this isn't a schus as well, but I had the schus of giving a shiur in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaChanan, known as YU. It was a wonderful opportunity to see some of our alumni there. And in truth, the message is a little bit similar to last week. You guys didn't hear the message last week, so I'll relate some of it. And those listening, don't worry about it. It's a little bit different, a lot different in the way. We see that Yaakov Avinu, in our parsha right in the beginning, is running away from Esav, and he has a dream. And in the dream, he sees Malachim Oylim V'Yordim, the ladder reaching Shamayma, but it is firmly stable on the ground. And in our parsha, there is a vivid picture that the Torah paints of the experience that he has. And this is amazing. If you know the story, I'm sure you do. He has Kfitza Saderech, and he recognizes that he forgot when he was going to Beit El. He forgets about davening the makom of what would be the future Mikdash, and he has Kfitza Saderech, and actually the makom of Mikdash comes to him. It's quite cool, and that's the place that he falls asleep. He falls asleep in all the rocks that he puts down. 12 rocks become one rock. Supposed to speak about the Achdus. In fact, this is the custom that we have today. Some have the custom, I actually try to do this every year, on Tisha B'Av, to sleep with rocks in your pillow. It reminds us, number one, that we shouldn't be so comfortable. We really shouldn't sleep with a pillow on Tisha B'Av. People sleep on the floor. I used to sleep on the floor every Tisha B'Av until I started going to camp. And that's very scary with the mice and stuff. I sleep with a pillow, but I put rocks in it. And the Medrash tells us that Yaakov Avinu there learned about all the Goliot, all of the Goloses that there would be, right? Paras and Rome and so on and so forth until the final one, and he saw how difficult it would be. And it was a Manoira HaMakom that we would not be getting out of this Golos for quite some time. Even today, we continue to see the struggle that we have. It's very interesting talking about Beit El. You know, despite the fact that President Trump, you know, said that the settlements don't bother him and they're not illegal, you see, when I was in America, I was shocked to see normal reporting. I don't want to say if there's anything normal except for Fox. You know, they're the normal ones, but CNN and so on and so forth. This was actually on MSNBC, where they were talking about how Trump could do this. It's illegal what he did, even though other presidents had done this before. Reagan said the same thing. And they said, and you know, it's got to call into question all the aid that's being used for the United States gives to Israel, the $3.8 billion, being used directly for settlement use. So how can a normal station, NBC, how can they say that? That's totally not true. All of that money is actually being used in the United States on U.S. products that are being brought to Israel. It's ridiculous. But we see the sheker that's involved. Yaakov saw this, and he is the paradigm for Gullus, right? He is our one, because he will be, unfortunately, going into Gullus. We know the end of his life, how he begs Yosef to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but he knows he has the final, that walk, if you will, I don't want to say it this way, it doesn't sound appropriate, but kind of the walk of shame, recognizing that now he's walking into Mitzrayim, where Bnei Yisrael will be for many years, and it is, of course, as we said, that paradigm of what Gullus is and where we are today. So everything that he saw in this dream is very, very important. So we see that upon Yaakov's arrival, well, he's in the field, Lasuach, he's in the field, he sees that's where he invents Ma'ariv, becomes a thing. Ma'ariv Dafka is at night, because it is the tefillah of Golos, it's the tefillah of night. We Jewish people start our day at night, to show that we recognize that even though there is darkness in the world, there is light that comes out much later on in the morning. And in fact, Rav Soloveitchik always said that the Ayelet HaShachar, the darkest time of the day, is actually right before it gets light outside. And that's what we recognize. That's what Golos is all about. So Yaakov is there, and there are three flocks of sheep were lying, as the story is told. And all the flocks are gathered, the sheep are there, and they would roll the stone upon the mouth of the well, and we know all the story. Yaakov then arrives from this difficult time, where he will later on, after this dream, he will now, in the next week's parasha, marry Rachel. So, as Yaakov leaves his home in Beersheba, so now he's going and he sees this chalom. V'chalem v'inei sulam matzav arza v'rosha megiyah shamayma. As I just said before, he is very much in this world. The idea that I want to bring out is based on the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says, and then we'll see Rav Soloveitchik's, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's idea. The Baal HaTurim says something quite interesting. If you look in the Baal HaTurim notes that the word sulam is the same numerical value. This is anybody who ever read Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim loves the stuff. He loves to do gematrias and things like that way. So he says it's the same numeric equivalent as the number of the words in Ze Kisei HaKavod and Kol Sinai V'Mamon and Ani. What is the Baal HaTurim getting at here? What is he highlighting in these specific words? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in his wonderful sefer that I actually brought here because I wanted you to see it, it's actually out of print. It's called The Warmth and the Light. It was written, unfortunately, only on Bereishis and Shmos, and I'm not really sure what happened after that, why it's taken so long for any other sefer to come out. It's quite sad. I even know that the Rav Aaron's Rambam, he wrote Perech Mata Aron, he was writing another chelik, so I don't know where all this all went, but this sefer is so beautiful, so unique in its Divrei Torah. So here, the Baal HaTurim comments and says, what exactly is going on here? What does the Sulam represent? So seemingly, it's the merger of two antithetical pursuits, Torah and Mada. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik has a gorgeous essay that he writes in his other sefer, where Rav Aaron writes of logic of the mind and logic of the heart, where he speaks at great length on Torah Mada. Rav Aaron was a very big believer in getting a college education. Rav Aaron went to law school. He went to NYU Law School because he strongly believed that he never knew if he would be a Rosh Hashiva one day. He said he loved teaching and he loved learning, but he wanted to get a real degree, and he got a law degree, actually, and he was actually an actual lawyer who actually was notably disbarred, apparently, after fighting a very big case in Chicago. Not for now, but that was part of Rav Aaron's Midah of Emes that he took from Yaakov Avinu. In any case, what does it mean? We have a common misconception that Torah and Mada are two different things. Last week, because I spoke in YU, I dedicate this year as well. Today, next week is my grandfather's Yurtzeit, Yaakov Yitzchak Menachem Dov. So my grandfather was one of the founders of Yeshiva University. He was one of the people who made it into a university. He was not only an educator of great purport, a president of a university, but also one who imbued the values of Torah as well, Mada. And I remember Birkei Avos was something that really was close to his heart. He loved learning. But besides for that idea, the idea of secular and spiritual combining seems to be something that's not part of our lives, right? You have one or the other. We generally, unfortunately, a lot of people like to separate the two, right? We like to say the following. Today, you know, is my spiritual pursuit. And at 1 o'clock, when spiritual pursuits are over, I'm going to go through my material pursuits and God knows when I'm going to do that. Tuesday nights, that's when I'm going to, you know, have my bed. Thursday night, when I'm off because of Thanksgiving, Rachmana Litzlan, so then I'm going to have my Mada pursuit. And Rav Aaron was very much against this concept that they're two separate things. Yes, the Sulam is representative that they're not. It's embedded in the ground. I believe Rav Cook says this as well. It's embedded in the ground and leads up to the Shemayim, says that we can do both. We can have our, right? Sometimes when you see somebody and they're so spiritual, what do you say to yourself? Oh, what do you expect? That guy's in the other world. He's not in the Mada world. He's not in that world. Why? Because it's impossible. Rav Aaron says, no, it's coming to teach us that this is possible. So he says that indeed it corresponds to the Kisei HaKavod and to Sinai. The focus of the latter, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, going heavenward towards spiritual heights of Sinai is the throne of Hashem, from which all existence emanates. But at the same time, the latter represents Mamon and Ani. These are constitutes the pursuits and the knowledge of personal gain and progress, as well as personal secular knowledge. They are both the same. There is not a conflict in the two. A person says, well, I can't, it's impossible to be rich and be spiritual. That's not true. So the Baal HaTurim is actually bringing out a point, which is a startling and important point. which is that both of these are Hainu Hach, are what a Jew should be. We have to be Yaakov Avinu Jews. We have to have the emes of Yaakov, yes, competing with the fact that going into business is difficult, but you can live a Torah spiritual life going into the business world. The equivalence of Sulam and Ani, the Baal HaTurim teaches us, is that we have to be concerned not only with our own mammon, the wealth and security of society as well. We have to take care of other people. I shared last week that Yitzchak very much knew who Esav was, but he thought that there would be Torah Mada. He thought that Yaakov would be the Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, and that Esav would help him out. He would be a Yisachar Zevulun. What was his raya? He asked a great question. Do you have to take salt from Miser? What did he show? That he wanted to take Miser. He wanted to give money to the poor. Ah, what does that teach us? That he could support. Rivka told him he's a liar. He's tricking you. He's a trickster. And he found this out. And he realized that. And that's why he kept Yaakov in getting the bracha. So he said, well, my God, Yaakov can combine both. What's amazing is, as we'll see in our parsha, of course, and I'll get to in a moment, he totally tricked Lavan, because Lavan was tricking him. Right? Being a spiritual person doesn't mean what? Doesn't mean that you get stepped all over. Doesn't mean that you just say, well, what are you going to do? No. You have firmly planted in this world as well. What does it mean when the Sulam also represents, says the Baal HaTurim, with kol voice? We already said that there's a bridge between Torah and Adah, but there's also, we can't lose sight of the guiding wisdom, which is kol. What is kol? As Yitzchak Avinu says, HaKol Kol Yaakov. The major difference between Yaakov and Esav is our power of tefillah. The kol of tefillah. The kol of Torah. It's something that's so unique that when people visited Batei Midrashos, like Panovich, and the cardinals come, or the, in YU, they had one time where all these cardinals came, turned out one of them was Jewish, and they were shocked to see the fighting over Torah. It's called the Kol Shel Torah. They didn't understand what was going on there. They thought everybody was fighting with each other. That's the unique kol that we have of Torah. The unique kol that we have of tefillah. Rav Aaron goes on to prove this point through the much, if you will, crazy story that is told about the incident of Yaakov's life in his dealings with Lavan. He recognizes the fact that he wants to marry who? Rachel and not Leah. And he's got to work quite hard for this goal. So what happens? The Torah describes the agreement between Lavan and Yaakov. Payment service to be a shepherd. But Lavan tries to trick him and says this is going to be impossible. Because he gives him unspeckled animals in the flock and Lavan keeps the speckled animals. In the future, Yaakov would keep the speckled members of the flock born to the unspeckled members which originally he received. Lavan is trying to swindle Yaakov. So what does he do, Yaakov? He uses Mada. He says, how can I make these ones speckled? He carves a white streak of speckled rods on various branches and sets them before the flock. And he indeed makes them, they're influenced by what they think that they look like. The Medrash tells us that Yaakov was dealing with Lavan, a malach was sent, mi Hashem. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that the malach doesn't necessarily mean the malach that we know. Malach can mean an actual servant. He sent a messenger, and the messenger explained to him science. Science. And he explained to him, let me explain to you how this has worked, how you could scam him back, how you could, quote unquote, trick these animals into having babies that will be speckled. Rav Aaron, in only the way that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik knew, I don't think anybody in the world of Rosh Yeshiva knew as much Mada as Rav Aaron. Maybe his brother of Yosef Dov. So he says, on one hand, you would think, I'll be honest with you, I never heard of this before, that Lemerick's theory, his notion, is correct. What's Lemerick's theory? I'm sure you all know this from your college courses you've been taking. That the change of the body results from environmental influences can be incorporated in the genes passed on for the generation. Lemerick's theory is repugnant I can hear Rav Aaron saying that. It's repugnant to the entire Torah outlook because it doesn't allow for tshuva. What does it say? According to Lemerick, individual's free will is taken from him because of who his parents are. Your parents are robbers, you're going to be a robber. It's just the way that it is. I'm sorry. Our basic principle is I don't care who your parents were, who your grandparents are. In Mirtz Hashem, they're amazing people and you'll take that with you, but it doesn't have to be that way. A Baal Tshuva can become an amazing person despite what his parents were. And he gives the Raya was Eliezer, came from a horrible family and became a tzaddik. Noach, tzaddik. Yaakov rejects the theory and uses Mendelian science. Mendel's theory was the following. Speckles and spots are dominant in sheep and goats. Yaakov carved it, the speckle and the spots, through these animals would see it in the water. And when love and speckled males saw the unspeckled females, what would happen would be something I don't understand, which is SSXSSXF2, whatever he explains it. I don't understand it. According to the laws of dominance, the first generation would be speckled, the second generation v'chulu v'chulu, and he, of course, won out because he used science. He used the knowledge of the world and the knowledge of Torah together and was able to practice both. In practicing Torah Mada, we have to have rabbinic guidance. We have to be careful that, and this is the line of all lines, so listen carefully, the inside we eat, but the shell we discard. We must throw away the shell of Mada, but the fruit we keep. There's very bad parts of Mada too. There are bad professors out there who teach things that aren't appropriate. So you have to take the fruit that's inside, not necessarily who teaches. That's what we have to do. Rahman al-Islam, we have Bible criticism, Talmud criticism, for instance. There's no fruit in there. You can't learn it at all. It's usher. So be careful when you go to college what you learn. Not everything is allowed to be learned. The goal of combining Torah and Mada has to be something that's worthwhile, like we see from Yaakov Avinu. The concept, in my opinion, is so strong for us because we have to understand that you don't live a life of one or the other. And oftentimes people think that, and it really, 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 really bothers me. That you guys think that there's only one way to go. I can either be a really, really frum guy who's going to wear a bekesha and a shtreimel, or I'm going to wear a gartel, or I can't have it the other way. That's a spiritual person, and a guy that's working can never be spiritual. That's ridiculous to me. That is not consistent with what we believe. Yaakov Avinu spoke to us and taught us this lesson. His father, Yitzchak, probably did not get this idea right away, because he saw Yaakov as only the Ishtam. He had to prove himself in quote-unquote this trickery way for Yitzchak to understand that Yaakov was the true Jew that could lead to the generations. As I just said, the Jew that would lead us to Gullus. The model of MS is not what we thought it was. It's sad that in our generation, we sometimes don't equate honest people. Oh, he's in business? Obviously, he's not honest. I once heard a very prominent Rav, very prominent, I can't mention who it is. He made a startling comment. His comment was, I'm just telling you the comment, please, take it for what it's not worth or worth. I've never met a truly wealthy person, a real wealthy person. I don't know if we're talking five towns wealthy or we're talking about, Queens. I don't know what he meant. Who was honest in business. Azai chutzpah. He says, no, you'll see. Either they cheat on taxes or I couldn't believe it. And he was so convinced of this point, and it bothered me so much trying to teach you guys business ethics, But I do think there was a little bit of emes to it. I don't think he was correct in saying everyone, but there are stories that do emanate from that richness of the way that people are treated. No, they have to go together. Again, it's important. Rav Aaron explains in his essay, as I said, Logic of the Mind of the Heart, based on the Rambam writes this, the Rambam was, the doctor And he believes so much in secular knowledge. And he writes this in Yisodi HaTorah. He says, you can't know the Torah. He says, forget about learning to be a doctor. I want to learn science to be a doctor. He says, it doesn't have to be only be a doctor. If a doctor's only learning that, because he's going to be a horrible doctor. He wants to know because he wants the knowledge. But the knowledge helps you. There's no way. And he starts to go through, I think, five examples of machlokasim in the Gemara that were based on the fact that the other person didn't understand science, didn't understand whatever the knowledge might be. Not just science, of course. Explains, you can't learn chulin without understanding the body. Hilchos Nida, come on, you can't. You have to know these things. But also, it has to be part of society. You have to deal with current events. I said last week that Rav Aaron, I remember watching TV with Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron had cable TV, they had a hook in, because he said, how can I not know what's going on in the world? It affects me. It's part of my life, it's part of everybody's life. Right? There's a famous line that the great Rav Mordechai Gifter said when Rav Aaron, about Rav Aaron, and he said, that there was a conflict, I think back in the 70s, in a country in Africa called Biafra. So he said that not only is Rav Aaron Soloveitchik the only Rosh Yeshiva who cares about the plight of the people of Biafra, he's the only Rosh Yeshiva ever heard of the country Biafra. But he cared because he knew that it affects us. It's being part of the real world. There shouldn't be a conflict between Torah and Mada. There shouldn't be a conflict. And there are, and let me be honest with you, there are sometimes conflicts in Torah Mada, meaning there are courses in YU that Rosh Yeshiva say you shouldn't take. There are some professors, I get it, and I misspoke, and I want to apologize. There's other great places like, you know, Landers. Somebody was in this year, I didn't realize that I gave in YU was in Landers. And I said, Chas v'Shalom, I didn't mean the only YU is the only place, but as opposed to other places, it's the place to be. Obviously, Eretz Yisrael is the number one place to be because you know that things are being taught. But now, the guys were telling me after this year that in YU, he says they have classes, business classes, where they're learning together with their Rebbe, with a Rebbe, a professor who's also a Rebbe. They're learning Meir Makomos. What an amazing opportunity. That's what it should be like. You should recognize the fact that those two things come together. Yaakov Avinu taught us that they both come together. Yes, my feet have to be firmly planted on this earth, but looking up to the Shemayim saying, is this what Hashem wants of me now? Should I be doing this right now? Is this the right job I should have at this point in time? Is this what God wants of me? Sometimes the answer is yes. One of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got from a great person, he said to me, was from his Rebbe. He said, my Rebbe said something to me that changed my life. You know what it was? It's Pasha. He says, you know the first kiruv you have to do in your life is? He wanted to go out of his business life and do kiruv. He says, you got to work on yourself and your family. He says, if leaving your job is not going to work for your family, you're going to be poor now, that doesn't mean you should do that. And it's very hard to meet somebody who loves their job. Not everybody loves their, but new? You like your job, you're able to support your family, you're able to get stuck with it, it's an honest job. I'm talking about the people who don't have honest jobs. And every day, like, I can't believe I have to do this. That's a problem. You're living a double life. Rav Huttner's famous non-double life is somebody who doesn't really live a double life. But if you're really a real double life, and at work you're being dishonest, that's not a Yaakov Avinu Jew. We should be zoche to take these ideas with us, Yirtz Hashem, and follow the ways of Yaakov Avinu. That sulam, let's remind us the sulam represented the gullus that we are in. And we should be zeicha to have those malachim come back to us, not just oilim, but yardim, to that place, which was the B.S. Beis HaMikdash. It says that he saw both Batei Mikdash in that same place be destroyed. Let the third one be rebuilt in Mirtz Hashem very soon in our day. Amen.